Here we go.
Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
Listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts, we welcome Yamaha Guitars, Pat Campolitano, and Armando Vega. Man, I knew I was going to do that. Pat is a master builder and designer for the artist models, and Armando is a marketing manager for Yamaha Guitars. We'll be talking about the L-Series acoustics, basses, and THR amps. Flow Guitars Enthusiasts is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Floated Izzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast
Son
Radio
of a
Show.
Gun. I can't believe I did
it's
that.
Okay.
You're just not Italian.
I knew it was going to happen. I was practicing like 10 times right before the show, and I got it like perfectly, and then whatever.
It's okay. Well, we have a great show for you tonight, but before we start, you've been pretty busy.
I have been busy, but I ironically happened to do a video on a Yamaha L Series guitar.
That was nice.
Yeah,
very nice
fun.
Sound.
Yeah, it was actually. I enjoyed doing it multiple reasons because the guitar is killer. But at the same time, I was having fun, trying out different miking techniques. So
yes.
I did a whole stereo thing with a ribbon mic and then a condenser mic, and it was quite fun.
Yes, and I was impressed with their pickup in there. Actually, having an old Ovation and the very early stage of piezo pickup development, I wasn't that enthrilled about it, but the Yamaha one sounded really nice, and it blended really well. I could hear that. We're going to talk about that later in the show, but it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and hey, the nice thing about it is no battery, so you can just plug and play. And like I said in the video, just let the Sandman do his job.
Mm-hmm. You can let the Sandman do it too, but
I'm telling you, because
he was fine until
my mouth is worn out from trying to practice that name, I think.
Well, all right. Well, listen, let's go ahead and take a quick break and get right into it, because we got a lot to talk about and there's a lot of cool stuff here. But we'll be right back, and we'll be talking with the guys from Yamaha Guitars. Be right back.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here, one of the many guitar freaks at Sweetwater, proud to support the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show. Check out our cool 24 months, no interest, equal payments financing on Yamaha guitars. This is a killer deal, exclusively through Sweetwater. Just go to sweetwater.com and click on the easy financing link in the lower right-hand corner to apply. Or call us at 800-222-4700 to speak to a professional guitar enthusiast directly. This week, we get an inside peek into the world of Yamaha guitars. Armando Vega with Yamaha is here, along with Pat Campolitano, Yamaha's master builder. So check Jeff and Scott as they hang with Armando and Pat on this week's show. And don't forget about our 24 months, no interest, equal payments financing at sweetwater.com. Or call us at 800-222-4700. Thanks for listening, and this is Kenny Burgle with Sweetwater saying, rock on with the flow.
Hola amigos, hello everyone, my name is Billy Sheehan and I'm from the Winery Dogs, and you're watching Fit Flow Guitar Enthusiasts.
Now there's a great Yamaha artist right there, Mr. Billy Sheehan.
Great bass.
Yes.
Love that bass.
So in studio here we have Pat Campolitano. I still butchered it.
No, no, that was good. All right,
and then Armando Vega.
Hey.
What's going on, Mr. Armando Vega?
How's it going? Pat. How's it going, America?
They're all listening.
Yes.
Every single one of them. None of them is watching football right now.
Yeah. So let's get started. I'll start with you, Pat. So tell us kind of how you got into being the master luthier, the artist guy that builds prototypes and artist models for Yamaha.
For me, I learned, I guess, how to be a craftsman a little bit from my grandfather. He's a gunsmith. I'm from the East Coast, so pretty much I would spend every summer hanging with him. He's got a shop at his house. I learned how to use a milling machine when I was 12, you know, by hand, making metal parts, making stocks for guns. And I just always wanted to do something with my hands. I don't think that I wanted to do something quite like he did, so I stuck to something a little less dangerous. I don't know.
Parents would think that guitars are dangerous.
Yeah, well, no, my parents were actually always really supportive. That's why I went to music college. I don't think if they weren't, I probably wouldn't be here, which is, it's kind of interesting because when I look back on my path to where I got, you know, to get to this point, if I were to do engineering school instead of going to music school, I probably wouldn't be making guitars. So I'm really grateful for every step that I've taken to get here. So it's cool. I just like making guitars, hanging with cool guys, and Armando here.
Yeah, Armando, how did you start at Yamaha?
Oh, yeah, well, I came from the tech side. I've been at Yamaha for 9 years now. And, you know, I was in high-end audio and pro audio for a long time. And just always wanted to get into, you know, the music instrument business because it's just, you know, it was where my heart was at. I've been a player since, you know, I was a kid. So, you know, I thought if I could put the two together, you know, what I learned in, you know, working with, you know, both sides, it'd be great. So a friend of mine, Ty Tabor from King's X, was a Yamaha artist, and I kept telling him, you know, I wanted to break into the MI business, and he told me, hey, they're looking for someone. So then I applied, and it's been great ever since. I've been there 9 years. And,
wow.
Yeah, just recently became the marketing manager in April. So
yeah, I saw the posted that up on our site as a part of your bio. That's very cool. And we actually did a video with you, quite a couple of them actually, three or four of them actually, on all the different products you guys were announcing at NAMM. One of the big ones you're holding right here in your hand is the L Series Acoustics. Can you kind of tell us about what is different about those and what you guys did to improve or?
Sure. Well, you know, it's a great time for us and the L Series because, you know, the L Series is something we've been doing since the 70s. It's our handcrafted line of acoustic guitars. And it, here in the U.S., we really are primarily known for folk guitars, the FG Series, which is iconic, you know, since 69. And the handcrafted side has always been a little bit more on the obscure side. So, so many things happened over the last, you know, 7 years, you know, with we had a guitar line called the A Series that really changed the game for us, you know, and then after the development of that, we revisited the L Series, our handcrafted series, and implemented a lot of that. So what's going on with the guitars, we've made it extremely playable. We've took all the research that we did in the A Series' neck and really brought down the neck, made it really playable. We went from a 3-ply to a 5-ply neck for instability and, you know, with climate changes and, you know, and also the, you know, the alternate tunings and everything that's going on in music today.
Are those rosewood pieces, are they through the neck? I mean, up to the fretboard?
Yeah, well, the 5-ply construction is throughout the whole neck, and then, of course, it's a dovetail joint. Mm-hmm. Every single Yamaha is done with a dovetail joint, even the starter guitars, and which is something that, you know, I think a lot of people freak out that this is a 5-ply neck at the price points that we're at. The other thing, too, was, you know, besides the neck, we also brought down the string height, the spacing, changed a lot of the things. But the really cool thing is the ARE, acoustic resonance enhancement treatment, that we do on the tops.
Right.
That's something that we did back in 2009 on really, really high-end guitars, and that it made it Yamaha Music Craft, our craft shop. It's 126 years old now in Hamamatsu.
Well, I was looking at your website, and evidently it was mentioning that you do maybe not the same technique, and I want to ask you what the different ones are. There's different types. You do it on your pianos. You do it on your string instruments. And when we had Billy Sheehan on, he was talking about this process. Something was done to age his guitar and make it. Can you kind of go through is it the same process or a different one? And what basically are the different things you're doing?
On the piano and violin side, what we've been doing, I don't know the name on that stuff, but all that development has, you know, pretty much crossed over into guitars.
Right.
And it's a process that really, it depends on the wood. Like Engelmann spruce top works really well with ARE. And we're still studying on how to do it with Sitka and cedar and so on and so forth. For right now, we're doing the Engelmann spruce tops because that's what the L series is all about. And what it is, it's a non-chemical type of aging process. There's very few companies that do it at this price point. I don't think anybody's doing it at the price point we're under, which is under $1,000 on the street. A couple of really great companies are doing it, you know, and they're doing it right. I mean, there's a lot of different processes, but just to be clear, we don't roast the tops. We don't cook them. And we don't have any chemical process. We have a lot of videos online. You can go to YouTube and search ARE, Yamaha ARE, also Google, and you'll get a lot of stuff. But very scientific, but ultimately what we do is we don't age the top. We make it sound like it's aged. On a molecular structure, we go in and we crystallize the pores and make it more solid so it sounds like a guitar that's been played for 20 or 30 years. It's very, very balanced and natural and warm. It has that vintage sound. There's a lot of seasoning, and there's also a lot of temperature and climate control that goes on with it. But it's pretty fascinating. But something that's been developed over 126 years of woodworking, really.
Now, you said there was a difference we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, with like Billy Sheehan's.
Billy,
That's called, we love acronyms. So that's initial response acceleration, IRA. Mm-hmm. We also do it on our SBG line of solid body electrics. That's a little bit more of a vibration technique where we make the guitar sound like it's been played for many years. You know, like I don't know if you've ever seen the touring electric guitarist that has their guitar in front of their Marshall stack for a tour, and they never play that guitar. It's just vibrating. They find the perfect vibration at the right tone to really change the way the body reacts. And I've seen it night and day. I mean, we went. Through a factory tour at Hamamatsu, our factory, our main factory in Japan. And we came in, they started the process on an electric guitar. We left for lunch and came back, and it was night and day what
wow,
it did.
That fast.
It was that fast, you know, and they do it a couple of times. But it's so secretive, they wouldn't let us take pictures on how they do it. And,
right.
I'm sure Pat has seen a lot of that stuff.
But in theory, it's similar to, like for example, we had a company on Guitar Hummer, and they had a stand that vibrates. And I put one of my Martins, I had a newer Martin, I put it on there for like 4 months and it made a difference.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just vibrated.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
the same principle, right?
It's the same principle. There's also a company called Tone Right. You know, I'll give them a plug that do the same thing. In theory, you know, I don't know exactly. I've never tried it. But, you know, in theory, the shake and bake method is one way to do it.
We just got one in the shop. It's great.
Yeah. What's great, you do it for like 72 hours at a time. Yeah, what I've heard is that it bounces back, though, and you have to keep doing
it. Yeah, you got to keep it up. It's a little subtle. You know, like it's what it does is it vibrates the wood and it kind of gives it, like you were saying, you put the guitar in front of the speaker, it resonates, kind of like an acoustic guitar that you've been playing for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It's resonating in the way that you play it. It's learning the tunes that you play. So every time you strum a chord, it's really letting loose. It's vibrating.
You know, and the thing is, if the guitar's not made well, it's not going to be a miracle cure. That's the thing with us. Every process in building the guitar. I mean, we own every single one of our factories. We naturally dry all our wood. We're talking about ebony before. We hang on to ebony for a year, 2 years. at a time. We have, you know, we design our glues, our lacquers, our even the machinery that we do build our guitars. You know, so, I mean, a lot of that has to go into it. We couldn't just do ARE on any guitar and it would work. And it would have to be braced properly. It would have to be built the way we do things. So it is part of the whole process.
You know? Well, why don't you play us a little something on there so we can hear it, and then I want to kind of ask you about the bracing because I noticed some unusual things in there.
Bit of the amp.
Oh, okay.
We'll get into that a little
bit
later.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you something though about that. We're talking because we're going to be talking about the bracing, and for the show, just so everybody knows, this before the show, I brought down my FG 180, which I've had. It's over 40 years old. It's a great guitar. It's laminate mahogany, solid spruce top, but there was that was not the ARE way of aging. It's basically playing it for 40 years. But anyway, it just sounds great. And you guys think
you loved it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But now what I wanted to ask you, and this is directed more at Pat, you're familiar with my guitar.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the guitars made later, like for John Denver. You said you have you're working on one of the John Denvers.
Yeah.
The A series and the what were the differences in the bracing, and or if there was an evolution, like going to this guitar, this L series?
Well, different shapes are braced differently. That's kind of like a given, because a dreadnought size guitar has a lot more bass response. So if you brace it the same as you would a small body guitar, you're trying to maximize your bass response, and you're trying to make the treble clear but not too brittle. So what you do when you brace a dreadnought versus, like, this is an LS, like a more of a concert size guitar, you're just trying to be a little heavier on one side, a little lighter on the other side. It's also where you shift the X in the brace. If you scallop the braces, that's going to give you a different tone as well. So if you don't scallop the braces, sometimes you'll get, you know, a stronger, fuller bass. If you scallop it out a little bit, you'll kind of get a little more delicate sound. It'll vibrate a little more because there's not as much tension in it. But if you make a top vibrate too much, then it starts canceling itself out. So it's a cool thing when you are bracing a top and you're trying to tune it. You're picking it up, you're chiseling off some of the brace, and you're listening for as many notes as you can get. You want to get as many different notes all over the soundboard as you can. If you keep getting the same note in many places, what happens is it creates that node on the guitar, and then it kind of cancels out. So if that node happens to be a G, every time you play a G chord, it's going to sound like a dud. And then the rest of your, you know, your chords or your notes are going to sound much louder, much brighter, much more brilliant. So the way to properly brace the top, which Yamaha does, is we go ahead and we look at every guitar, especially if the guitars are like the Japanese-made ones, even though the ones made in our other factories in China and Indonesia too, they tap tone test all the tops and braces, and it also comes down to part of that ARE treatment, because it's a way to season the wood properly over a slower period, adding moisture, removing it, and it has to be done at the right rate. If you remove too much moisture all at once, the wood will crack, or it won't work right. So there's so many small details that go into making the guitar.
Well, the L series, is it only like a concert size, or do they make a dreadnought? I thought they made
a dreadnought in what they call a J body style as well. In the U.S., the dreadnought is king, and then the smaller body. The smaller body is they're just as deep as the dreadnought, so they still have a lot of, they still pronounce it quite a bit and push a lot of air. The smaller bodies are really picking up. That's one of the reasons we sent you that, just so you can get a kind of a feel for that too. They're getting a lot of there seems to be kind of a trend for more smaller guitars right now. Also, the bracing chains on the L series to comfort because of the ARE treatment. And
affected how you want to brace it.
We had to lower them to make them smaller and to just kind of balance it out. And what happened was, you know, between the ARE and the new style bracing, I think it's a much more, you have a lot, the top end decays a lot quicker, and you don't have that harsh top end on it. You know, it decays really well.
It's really smooth mid-range.
It's very smooth.
And when you do the ARE treatment, it makes the top actually stronger and more resilient. So when you brace the guitar, if you were to have the same amount of bracing as you would on a guitar that is not ARE treated, it's not as strong.
Yeah.
So it needs those beefier braces to keep the guitar, you know, above water to, you know. Yeah.
So the other guitars, like my FG, would have a heavier brace.
Yeah, but, you know, your guitar was made in a different era. So it's a little bit apples and oranges.
Jeff was made in a different era.
That's true.
So now, we do take it very serious. And a lot of the things that...
The guitar, the consistency, and one of the things I have to say about my experiences from the FG, using that FG for years, it had like a neutral sound which blended well. Because I always was called on to double stuff and
that is
triple
the
track.
Yamaha way. All guitars, you'll hear certain classic American guitars. Some of them have a really great bass response and a kind of muted treble. Some of them have a lot of treble and a lot of low end and no mid range. The Yamaha sound is dead flat all the way across.
Yeah,
all
very
the way.
Balanced.
I have to agree with that. It just, it has its own character, but it blends well with other guitars. Whereas some guitars, when you're doubling and stuff, it doesn't work. You know, I could use two Martins session I did. When I use the Yamaha in there, it's different enough where it just gives it a little more in the wash. And it's, when you pan it out, it sounds really, really good.
Yeah, and the pickup, because of the way that the guitar is EQ'd, the pickup responds to that. So with the new L series pickup, it doesn't have any controls. It gets sent straight to the sound man, and he knows it's like a microphone. It's not like a regular guitar where he's got to be careful how much bass he's got, and he's got to bump up the mid and the treble a little bit. It's not like that. The new L series pickup that we're using in there gives the sound guy a really easy platform to adjust your sound. That's why there are no controls. It just goes straight to the front of the house.
Right.
He knows what to do. It sounds great anyways. You just plug and play.
Now, I saw on this particular guitar there were some braces on the side. I had never seen that before. What do you think that's there for?
Oh, like
the
vertical,
lines?
Yeah. Up and down. That's just like a connection between the kerf.
For tonal transference from the top to the bottom. And it just keeps it, and it's also stability as well.
It keeps the ribs from cracking. So if you do drop your guitar and, you know, some folks tend to mistreat their instruments every now and again. It keeps a split from going around and, like, butterflying all the way around the guitar. Yeah. So you'll see, it happens on acoustic guitars constantly.
Yeah. We also do a C-block on the neck.
If they drop or bang the end bridge pin, the strap pin,
it's a lot of tension
that'll crack
there.
That.
Mm-hmm. We also do a C-block. For the same reason, for this to stabilize it, but also for tonal transference, and it it goes from the neck to the back, and then from the neck to the heel all the way to the back, and what it does is it keeps that 14th fret hump from coming out years later, and it just keeps everything really stable. That's the thing. A lot of our artists that they always tell me, no matter where they go. And no matter what kind of tunings they do, the neck never moves on these L series.
And that's why your guitar, it's pin straight. Your neck on your vintage Yamaha, it's dead straight after all those years. It didn't need a neck reset, didn't need the bridge shaved down, didn't need any of that. And it still plays like a million bucks.
So, Jeff, why don't you turn off the actual mic in front of the guitar and let's hear the pickup, and then let's have Armando play something, just the pickup only, and then tell us about how that's designed.
Yeah, well, the pickup came from our A-Series, their studio response technology. And what it was is originally this guitar was not going to have a pickup in it. And when we were sitting around a table just you know, just brainstorming what the guitar should be like. It was very going to be very traditional, and then we started thinking, well, what's going to happen when somebody wants to plug in? You know, the folk movement is very popular right now, and they like guitars.
Yeah, I remember
without,
at the show, they didn't have pickups.
Yeah,
they mentioned that. That was one of the things you said.
And then they just said, look, why don't we just put the SRT pickup in there for free at no additional cost? So it's a great pickup. It's just a you know, Yamaha proprietary. It's got six different crystals, one for each string. And they're all fine-tuned for that particular frequency. They, you know, the treble side wouldn't be like the bass side. So it's very, very balanced.
That's straight without the amp.
Yeah, that's just straight pickup. There's no batteries, no preamps.
Okay, no, we don't. Right now, you told me to display.
No, I'm saying with the amp.
I'm going to turn the acoustic up.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Reverse.
This is running through the THR right now.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah. So this is the Yamaha THR. Yeah. The third amp, it's our really cool practice amp.
It can go into an amp, a DI box, a PA, whatever you choose. We're going into this little practice amp just to show you, no preamp.
Yeah, that's the amp.
That's normally if you had a straight piezo going into anything without any battery, the passive pickups are usually really squawky. And this one you could really.
Yeah, it doesn't get that clacky. I would get that on my old Ovation, which one of them?
Yeah, that. And also that for percussive playing, these guitars are very, very, very percussive too. And that's another great thing about the ARE that we've noticed too. A lot of the percussive players love it. The thing about this pickup, we have an artist named Daniel Ho. Have you guys heard of Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know. Won six Grammys in a row. I mean, guy's great.
Nah, I never heard of him. No, I'm just kidding. He was great.
We sent him one, and he records a lot. He's constantly recording, and he's recording direct now with a blend, but he's never done that ever. And he said this pickup is just works perfect for that. And he can't believe there's no battery, there's no preamp, and you know, and we couldn't believe it when we first heard it. So, you know, it's probably about 25% less than if it had a preamp, but man, is it worth it for not worrying about batteries. And
yeah, no battery, yeah, it's yeah. Awesome. And the Daniel Ho, he's got ears like Eric Johnson. It's ridiculous. He came into our studio, and we were testing pickups and guitars. And, you know, what we do at Yamaha Artist Services, that's the office that I work in, that's the custom shop. We have a little studio, and we'll bring in all of our artists that are really professionals and have ears that can hear things that the average human cannot. You know, they can hear a mouse walking down the street 2 miles away. So Daniel Ho came in, and he was listening to some of the A series, and he was listening to the L series, and he's like, oh, this frequency here is a little off in this. And then you know, we have our team from Japan, our tech guys, they're writing notes, so you know, they're really going at it. And then I swear the next time he came in, he's like, oh, this is perfect. And he's playing it's amazing. Yeah. Listen to him play, and his ears are golden.
It's a testament, definitely.
Well, Armando, would you play us about 30 seconds on just the pickup, and then we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll talk about the amps, electrics,
and the electric.
Yeah. And then we'll talk a little bit about what Pat does with some of the artists.
Sure.
That sustained. Is that that's incredible. Sorry, I had to put that in there. We'll be right back, and we'll come back, and we'll talk more about the electronics and the amps.
Hey, Kenny Burgle here from Sweetwater, reminding you that Thanksgiving is coming up soon. That means the world-famous Sweetwater Black Friday sale is coming up soon, too. If you're not familiar with Sweetwater's Black Friday sale, you should be. First, it's not actually just on Friday, but during the whole week leading up to Thanksgiving, starting Monday, November 24th. We put some of the most popular and sought-after gear on special sale with crazy, stupid, really that low? Aren't you going to get in trouble for selling it that cheap? Kind of prices. Even lower than our normal already way low prices, our crack merchandising team does secret deals with the manufacturers just for you, just for the 7 days of Black Friday. Just go to Sweetwater.com on Monday, November 24th, and going through Sunday at midnight, November 30th, to check out all the great and amazing sale prices. Or call us at 800-222-4700 all that week. So this is Kenny Burgle in Sweetwater saying thanks for listening. And the holidays are coming, so get your best deals in during the 7 days of Sweetwater's Black Friday.
Okay.
All right, welcome back.
Yes. And now we're going to talk about a couple of other... Well, we should talk about the amp. But this other guitar, which I'm really excited about. This is a nice...
Yeah, let's start off with the amp and just kind of tell us... So I should tell the story on this. This was interesting. When I was at the office in Burbank, I saw these things like all over the place. I'm like, what is that? And he's like, you got to listen to this thing. And so he plugs into it, and I hit like a couple chords, and I'm like, okay, where's the speakers? And he's like, no, it's inside the box. And this box is like maybe 1.5 lunch boxes.
Yeah.
It's, and I was blown away because it's, I believe it's stereo speakers. So if you sit right in front of this thing, it sounds amazing.
We had
amazing.
A guest that brought one of these in.
No, that was another company.
No, we had a Yamaha. Somebody brought in a Yamaha at some point.
Well,
they're everywhere.
A lot of our artists love them. They're the perfect practice amp. I mean, at home, I have a Turok. I built myself a 50 watt, 1987 style head. I got tons of stuff, but at home, this is what I use. Yeah. It's awesome. And so it's got 5 different electric guitar models. And we make 3 versions. We make, this is the THR-10, and then we make a 10C, which is the more boutique-y type, and that's like a really, really dark blue color. And then we make a THR-10X, which is the rock and heavy metal version, and it's awesome.
Super high gain.
Yeah. Super high gain. But they do share some channels. The original 10, the one that we brought, has the clean channel that's on the 10C. Yeah. Armando is
pretty good. They also have bass input, acoustic input, which is what I was playing through. But they're also the reason they sound so loud for being a little amp is that we use the that home theater soundbar technology that Yamaha.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This was an iPod dock. Yeah. and the
chassis, and then the has a soundbar technology, and then it uses the walls around you to bounce the sounds. But also the modeling on that is a Yamaha VCM modeling, which we've done in our Motif and our live sound and our rack mount. What it is, the VCM, virtual circuit modeling, instead of modeling the output of a circuit, we model the actual circuit. Like what did the orange capacitor behave like, mm-hmm. On so there's a lot of that. And then it's a great recording interface, too. It works great. So.
There's a THR utility. You can plug it into your computer and you can edit your patches. You can also edit like your compressor, your noise gate,
speaker cabinets.
There's tons of different stuff. It's really, really awesome.
The coolest thing is that it doesn't look like an amp, and like your wife or significant other doesn't know it's an amp, and you can leave it in your living room and listen to audio through it, and they have no idea it's an amp. That's what I like about it.
It's just an iPod dock.
It's like my bench testing amp, but I use this to check to make sure things are working, and I also plug in my cell phone to it, and I listen to tunes all day. It's really like the best all-arounder, and because the music is changing, everybody is becoming more interested in small. No, not too many people are buying 412s.
Well,
anymore.
As we get older, the amp needs to be smaller.
Yeah, who wants to carry that?
I can attest. I was selling a British style amp that's been around for about 50 years. There's 100 watts, and it took me about 9 to 10 months to sell it. So
yeah.
Nobody wants the 100 watts most of the time, unless they're playing.
The modeling on this, the software or whatever, the design of the modeling on this, is that the same one? I know Yamaha made like a rack little or a semi-rack guy that had a lot of different sounds. Mm-hmm. And to give you a plug you might not know, Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues, who I'm a big Moody Blues fan, he uses one of those. I've seen it on top of his
DG 1000.
So is that the same?
It is like a very distinct grandchild.
Yeah, they the that modeling style had been around for a while. We had a Magic Stomp that one had it in there, and that DG Stomp and the DG 1000. That a lot of those stuff is still in here. The Verbs are from there. And
from there.
Yeah, and the Verbs are incredible on this thing, and the Reverbs, too. They're just scary. It's scary what this little amp can do. And
yes, yeah, used by the Moody Blues.
Yeah, actually, one of them I was checking out was the... Well, it looks like a black one, but it's a dark blue. That one has a tape echo in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can hear it. It's pretty amazing.
Like, yeah, it sounds like an Echoplex. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah.
So you mind, Pat, giving us a little bit of a, kind of showing us a few of the different samples on that?
Yeah, sure. So this is just like a clean setting. The EQ is set flat. It's on the very first channel. And I just tagged in a little bit of the delay reverb combination. But it's really great. It's really smooth.
I know I'm miking it, and the mic too, being about maybe a foot and a half from there, it, you know, the mic picks up like a little bit of a low end resonance. But I have to admit, it sounds this deep and rich to our ears just sitting in the studio. It's not the mic when he's playing like those lush chords and stuff. It's actually the sound of the amp, and it's a little guy. I mean,
here, I'll
those,
cut
like,
the bass all the
what,
way
about
off.
3-4 inch speakers or something.
Yeah,
really small.
Yeah, 3.5 inch.
Now I'm playing a guitar with only a bridge pickup, and you might have seen this guitar in Guitar Player from last month. This guitar, this very guitar, won Editor's Pick.
Yeah, Pacifica 510V. So what amp is that you have right now? Is that the...
It's just the straight clean setting.
Oh, okay.
Which is based on a American-style small 22-watt amp. And then... I know my stuff. All right, so I'll set it back to flat. This is the Crunch channel, and this is like a UK-style, really... You know, the Beatles were interested in this amplifier. it does get kind of loud. So.
Sound on the guitar?
Yeah, so this guitar has a P-Rails pickup in it, and that's a really cool pickup. You've started to see them in some guitars, but it's cool because it's like a P90, it's a humbucker, it's a single coil, but it's all in one. This guitar only has one pickup, but we do have a three-way switch. So in this position, it's full humbucking in the middle position.
With that setting, go ahead and go to the P90 and the single coil so you can hear the difference.
Okay, so this is the humbucker. I'm going to turn the effects off. All right, so this is the P90 setting. It's a really unique pickup.
It's a production model. This is a Pacifica 510V with a Wilkinson trem and a solid
all trem body. Smooth.
Yeah.
And these guitars have not been available until they'll be available in January here in the U.S.
Right.
They're coming in. So this particular guitar, the review came out a little earlier than we expected, but you know
cool.
You know, they've been available in the U.K., so it's not really a big secret. It's just now they're due to popular demand, they're coming out. So what other amp did you do the high gain?
This is like a Jimmy Page kind of amp. Oh.
Yeah.
humbucker?
Yep, that's it. On the humbucker. I'm going to play mostly with the humbucker on this. Just it's what people are familiar with. So
that's a Brit High?
This one is the lead. The Brit High is this guy right here.
And he builds them, folks. He plays them and
he's
builds them.
He's the builder. That's not Armando playing. That's Pat playing.
I also got a degree in playing guitar. I went to Berkeley, you know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's edumacated.
Well, I wanted to know, you know, what it takes to play. And I knew that if I went to school and I learned how to play, I'd be able to make a better guitar. And absolutely, that's been my philosophy behind the whole thing. I don't play out very much, but it's... I'm more interested in making the guitars, but I still love to play. I mean, that's why I got into this.
Well, with that high gain setting, and if you need to go to single coil, go to single coil. But can you generate a lot of harmonic content, like squeal?
Where's your gain at?
Gain is up pretty high.
Well, we have the... What's the... Oh, and then we have the...
There you go.
There it is.
I'm just not great at pinch harmonics. We need Zach Wild to come in here.
And in the modern will give you some pinch. Yeah.
But it gets, I mean, part of it's the guitar, but I mean, part of it's the amp. The amp has the harmonic content. That's what I want to show for a little guy. You can do all the things you need to do. You can squeal. You can do all the really cool little things in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, it's awesome because, I mean, you're getting this huge stack sound. And it's not even half volume, you know? I don't mean to clip your...
No, you're all right.
Besides reverb and delay, it has a few other things. It has phase, and what else did it have?
Yeah, give him a little tremolo.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Tremolo. Yeah, gotta love the tremolo.
Let's bring it back clean a little bit. Yeah. I usually play in the second channel, that kind of Beatle-y
sound.
That's
my favorite way.
And I jack up the gain and the master all the way. Get that. Which is, if you want to go back to the 80s, relive your 80s.
Or Eric Johnson.
What's that?
Or Eric Johnson.
Or Eric Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, phaser.
The 80s was super cool anyways.
Is that the phaser?
That's more like a flanger.
Yeah.
That's a flanger.
Flange.
And then the phaser.
I can't see from this angle. Settings.
Jeff.
And then also with the delays, which is really cool, you can check it out. There's a where the tuner is, so you can turn on the tuner, but it's the tap tempo. Turn into a quick, short slap back, or you can make it long.
Yeah. Go through the reverbs and the delays.
Okay. So this is just straight delay. I'll speed it up a little. And then you can get reverb plus delay, which is really cool.
You can hear it.
Yeah. Or you can get hall reverb.
Stadium. This is a little guy. It's really, really small, and it sounds huge, and it sounds
it's
like
two
that in the room.
2 4-inch speakers.
2 4-inch speakers, 6 pounds.
Yeah.
Looks like pretty modern.
Now, is there a foot switch for that, so you change all the sound?
No, but there are 5 preset buttons. So if you just hold down one of the preset buttons, you can save whatever channel that you're on, and it'll quickly go back to that. There are future products that we're always working on, and...
things have to evolve. Yeah.
Things have to get there. But this is really great. It's a great practice amp. It's great if you have a wife and kids.
How much are these going for now?
They're $300, $299 street price. Yeah. That's the average.
From Sweetwater. So yep. You guys should check out Sweetwater.
They carry all the THR-10, which is this one, the THR-10C, which is the classic combo. And then the THR-10X, which is the high gain extreme.
What's the difference between the THR-10 and the THR-10C?
The 10, if you think of it, the 10C is kind of like the single channel boutique-y kind of hand wired style of sounds, and no dual channel. That type of player doesn't want a dual channel. He wants one pure channel. The 10X is the dual channel type of player who wants high gain. Even guys that don't play metal really like it because they don't have anything quite like it. And then the 10 is sort of does everything. It's just right in the middle.
So it's got clean sounds. It's got high gain sounds. Mm-hmm. It's got some middle of the road sounds. The 10C, it doesn't have as much gain. Although some channels, really have a great sound. Some boutique, small amps that are modeled in there, they sound incredible. Really, you can get that really clean, kind of smooth overdrive that a lot of people are very familiar and happy with these days.
You can also run a pedal into it because it's so clean. And that's the beauty. If you run a pedal into the 10X, all hell will break loose. But
I use my pedals with this all the time. Yeah. I have my pedal board and my THR, and that's my practice rig at home. It's awesome. And you can plug in your iPod right here or use your headphones.
I've actually done gigs with the 10.
So the 10 is more of a general purpose, especially if you have pedal boards and you're using other effects.
I've actually did a gig. My amp died on me at a show. And I had that in the trunk of my car, and I ran out and we're setting up, and I didn't tell the band that there was a problem. I went back and I pulled it out of the car and I put it in the setting that I liked the most. I put it on top of my cabinet and we put a mic in front of it, and I got a great wedge sound and I made it through, man, and I was surprised.
Does it have a line out to go to like a PA?
It has like a headphone output, so you can use that if you want to plug it into like a mixing board or something.
Stereo.
Like that.
Which would be
you'd
if you run it through the PA, it sounds pretty wild.
So this is the second channel. So it's a little grittier. It's not quite clean. And I have the volume rolled back, and it's got a really nice
It blooms
sound.
A little like turning a tube amp.
Yep, and then I'll turn up the volume, and it goes with your playing dynamic. So if you play light, it'll give you a cleaner sound, and if you really dig in.
It responds like a tube amp, so it's very scary.
Yeah, and great shout out to our friend John Kim, who we work with, who is one of the software engineers for this. He is kind of part of this whole team. He recently moved to our office because Yamaha recently purchased Line 6.
Yes.
I was going to ask you about this.
Now we're working as a team, and John is working with Line 6. He's working with, on his products that he's worked on in the past, and he did a great job with this. We love it.
It sounds great.
So,
he's an
incredible player, too, man.
So since you guys are working together with Line 6, Line 6 came out with that little box. It's not little, actually. It's a pretty sizable, kind of like a home box.
Oh, the Amplify.
Yeah, the Amplify, mm-hmm. which I've recommended to a lot of people because I didn't know about this, actually. But do you project anything coming out that would be kind of a combination of the two? Because the one thing that's cool about that one is it integrates well with an iPad. But what's really cool about this one is you don't have to have your iPad. You can change all the settings.
You don't have to, but you can use... there is an app that you can use for your phone or for the iPad, which is the THR Edit.
THR 10 Sessions?
Sessions, that's it.
Yeah, it allows you to take your library from your phone, and you can select songs, slow them down, speed them up, change the pitch, and also EQ instruments out, so you can just... It's more of a Jamlon feature, but it's free. And just go to iTunes Store and look for THR 10 Sessions.
Yeah, cool. It's really great. Especially, I think that anybody who's learning to play that wants something better than their first amp that they get in maybe the package, this is like the best step to go because you get all those features and you can slow down your tunes and you don't have to get a separate, a paid app or something like that, so you can slow it down, practice your music. It's really,
and we're running off a battery here, so
yeah. Is it right now?
Right now it's plugged in.
Yeah.
But
it does work off battery.
No. So. I'll unplug it. It'll sound the same. Yeah, it's the same. Put fresh batteries in.
Now we're
eight double A's. Eight double A's.
Sure. Now you've been gigged with it. How long do the batteries last?
With the gig, I use the power supply, but you can get up to 14 hours. You know, it depends on how much volume you use too, and how much of the.
So
effects.
You could survive a gig.
You could survive, absolutely. Yeah.
You could actually get through a set or a night.
Especially, I would recommend rechargeable ones if you're going to use batteries. You know, keep a separate fresh set constantly.
Yeah.
On it, and
When I got married, my wife and I, we had a very small wedding. It was only 25 people, but we use this as our DJ
nice.
Setup. So
yeah,
this is my personal THR, but this played all the tunes at our wedding. Yeah. We just hooked up my iPad, and I had a Spotify playlist, and we let it rip, and it was awesome.
Yeah, there's competitors of ours that buy those so they can do their PowerPoint presentations and have the laptop cranking through that thing.
That's funny.
I met a guy who's one of our competitors, and he was telling me, he bought one to do PowerPoint. He was like, shh. It's such a great. I mean, it's like the Swiss Army knife for guitarists, bass players. You know, the only thing missing is a vocal input. You know, it's like,
but it has a flat channel. So if you do want to use a microphone that has a quarter inch end on it, you can plug it in. It's flat. It's really good if you want to plug in, like, you can plug in a keyboard, a microphone, pretty much.
Is the input buffered, or does it have like a, like, I know in the early days, I'm going to date myself, but like Tapco, you could put a line in and it'll adapt to it. Can you put a line in signal in there, or is it just?
No, yeah, it depends on the, you know, for vocals. You mean
for anything? I mean, if you could, like you were saying, you could plug some. I mean, the iPod's different. You're using the output of the headphone.
Yeah, it's mainly voiced for that.
But it can't take a line level.
I think it's mainly for high impedance.
Mainly high impedance. You know, but recording on the recording side, it comes with Cubase AI and 6.
Yeah, which is like a light version of Cubase.
Yeah, it gives you light. You got 48 tracks, drum loops, everything a guitar player would need to start recording. And I use it mainly. I haven't used a microphone in a long time. It's so the sounds are so real that now with acoustic, I use a microphone and you know, because you got to get the room sound and the guitar vibrating. But the beautiful thing is I have a PC, which is hard to record on because of latency. And, you know, you'll hit a chord, and you'll hear it, like, 2 seconds later.
Yeah.
You know, and not all PCs. I don't want to get, you know, in trouble with PC, with Windows or anything. It's just that's an inherent thing that you deal with. When I connect this USB into my computer, there is no latency. You know, it takes over. Basically tells your computer, I got this. I'm your new sound card. And your monitors too. So
it's very cool. It's got a USB plug, and that's the way you can update your firmware in it too. So we released an update for this. This is version 2 firmware, and every time it gets updated, it just the amps sound even better. I don't know how it's done. It's amazing.
Yeah, the modeling's killer.
So if you have a laptop and you have a PC and you have this amp, you can pretty much record in your living room immediately, and it's really easy and intuitive.
So we're coming almost to the end of the show here. So quick round-robin questions for you guys. Is there any hints towards something that we'll be seeing in NAMM? Maybe, you know, whatever you can possibly release. I mean, you have talked about that we're going to see electrics.
The right? Pacificas.
Yeah, the Pacificas, the full line of Pacifica, the 510, the 611s, and the 310s are all coming. They were available in the UK. So if you went to Yamaha... If you went to Yamaha, like the UK or in Canada, you would see these guitars that are coming down the pike. And they're all incredible, you know, solid body electrics, all under, you know, like $600, $700.
Wow.
Take notice, dudes on the gear page. They're coming for you.
Yeah. So this is featured right now in the current issue of Guitar Player, the review on the 510.
Right.
Yeah. There's going to be more L series. Models coming, a lot of stuff coming next winter. Yeah. But this year it's you know, we're refreshing the A series with a handcrafted version of the A series, which there's a lot of A series fans out there, and now they're going to get one made in Japan, which is amazing. We took that on a survey recently, and just every dealer that looked at it was just drooling. And then we have the A series in black now coming out, a little bit more of a rocker spin on the acoustic electric. Every guitarist needs an acoustic electric, including, you know, the rocker side, and it really does appeal to them. We have some new colors coming out, the exotic tops coming out at Winter NAMM too. So
yeah.
Just kind of refreshing everything.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I guess, yeah, we just want to thank Sweetwater. And then you guys are going to try to play a little duel for us here.
I don't know.
I say we go for it. Why not? Let's try it.
I don't know about that.
But thanks a lot for Sweetwater.
And also, too, just check out us.yamaha.com. That's where everything is. Yeah. Thank you, guys. We will have you back. We'll let you recover from...